Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
All right, friends, thank you. All right, last one seated is going to buy lunch. Well, once again, I just want to let you know, so thrilled. Ainsley, my wife, and I just returned from England. We were just overjoyed to be sent by you and especially by our missions committee, so thank you. Our purpose being there, once again, my report is going to be brief, but we would look forward to giving you some updates. We saw our missionary unit, Jonathan and Sarah Griffiths. They are there with their three boys. Their oldest boy is David. He's going to turn 10. So you're just going to see really a scrolling of four slides. I could bring you the whole family footage, but I just thought I would kind of eliminate with just four. Their next son is Charlie, and the youngest is Ransom. And what a delightful family. They've been there all of 1 year now, and it really seems to be that first year where we find people, as you would have a change of venue or neighborhood, they start to get homesick, and they just miss people and things, especially during the holidays. They were so thrilled that we came. It was not only just a 10 or 11-hour flight, plus an hour and a half waiting for our train and our three-hour train ride out beyond London to Cheltenham. So we arrived the next day at 9:30 at night. So they recognized how happy they were that we arrived, and we were too. And we saw some amazing things. They are continuing to do some outstanding work among the Anglican Church. They are there to plant a four-square church. There is only the Church of England, the Anglican, the diocese there. And you'll see Johnny, who's speaking there and doing a reading at St. Luke's. The pastor that's next, the vicar, is a wonderful man named Patrick, very kingdom-minded, is aware that they're there to plant a church. And with that, even sponsored our missionary, Jonathan, to be a part of the school board of the diocese there, which opened the door for Ainsley and me to join them to pray for their school their next semester. That was fantastic. Prayed for their principal. They call him the headmaster and the teachers. Outstanding network of relationships. You find even in that church, so many of those old structures and edifice, they are just massive. But there's not very many people in attendance. And these structures have been there in the 1500s, and eventually some who are even in the church are there by tradition, not by relationship with God. And so people in church not saved. Can you imagine? So it's been a unique experience. They were grateful for our time together. We enjoyed what we saw. They're building relationships by reason of just befriending people before they kind of lay out the wonderful way that God wants to love them. They're demonstrating it by their actions. Ainsley and I participated with their Journey Kids, and that is a ministry that they've started up at the local school that Johnny was invited to become on the school board. They call them governors. So they do a Sunday afternoon program called Journey Kids for the community children as well as just the children in the school. We had a great time. I shared a little gospel bracelet. Ainsley read a story. We sang songs. It was all about Jesus and all about the Bible. It's great. So we were back. We took our train ride back in, spent all of a whole solid day there in London, saw as much as we could on one of those hop-on, hop-off buses. Can you imagine? Honey, don't go in there. We got another destination. Come on. And off we went. It was pretty exciting. But we're so glad to be back with you. No place like home during the holidays. So you'll see the four of us in one of those slides. That is in Cheltenham, what the streets look like. The family unit, that's in front of St. Matthew's. That's where Sarah Griffiths, our lady missionary, she was invited to speak Sunday night. Can you imagine how wonderful is that? The doors open, and then naturally seeing their children and what even the sanctuary looks like in some of those churches. Pretty elaborate. Well, thank you. I'm just wanting to share that. If you have other questions, I hope you do, that you'll ask. Let's start with Ainsley. She's here. She'd love to share her story as well and get some further updates. But I do have my Bible. How about you? As we power up our lights, we want to get into the Word of the Lord before we have some wonderful presentations this morning. And so I have my Bible. Let's see what Bible attendance looks like. Just either electronic app or just your neighbor's Bible. Just rip it out of their hands and say, hey, I brought mine. How about you? That's great. If you don't happen to have a Bible, there it is. Thank you. Pastor Jim's going to hand out Bibles. And if you need one, he'll give it to you. He's a generous guy. So we're thrilled about that. I have our message all lined up. It's the Thanksgiving message. We're going to Psalm chapter 1. If you'll find the book of Psalms, book of Psalms, pretty easy to find. You just get your Bible like this, hit the tabletop right down the middle, and bam, usually it's right there in the book of Psalms. 100. Doesn't that sound good? Everybody say 100. Yeah, it just sounds like, man, you scored 100 today. 100 today. And so as we take a look at today's message, the joy of just sharing, and not only because of what God has enabled us to enjoy from Him, He loves us consistently. He provides for us faithfully. What would be that kind of response to a God who does that for you and for me, for everyone actually? Well, the ultimate would be just that, all of me. God hears all of me. And that's the title of today's message, All of Me. We're looking at Psalm 100. It really does bring up four excellent points where the psalmist describes and shares. And so this is called a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of thanksgiving. In Old Testament times, they sang these songs going into the temple. Many say they still sing this going into the synagogue, this particular psalm that we are enjoying right now today. So you who are here with us and you who are watching by live stream, we welcome you. Let's now welcome the Lord as He's going to lead our study too. Father, thank You. And by Your Holy Spirit, You're going to help us to see those things that each one can receive something from You. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to hear. And Lord, not just to say, oh, that made sense, but really allow us to interact in a great relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever come across someone who just asked you, what if you had a chance to do life all over again? What would you do all over again? And I've asked a few people, what would you do if you did it all over again? I had one person say, I'd do everything over again. It's like, oh, well, okay. And then there are some a little more piety and said, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. Well, maybe you're not thinking hard enough, but there's always something that we would want to change just a little bit. Had occasion with some wonderful senior saints, and they just said, well, you know, I'm in that twilight time of my life, and I kind of nestled three things together that would come together that people feel that they would want to do over again. One would be, I'd like to be more thoughtful for people and toward people in my life. I thought that's pretty good. Just more caring, more considerate. Another would be more intentional with my life. In other words, not just kind of wake up and say, well, let's see what's on the television, but man, really plan things out and really be intentional with that. That was pretty impressive to see that, where people might have just kind of went through life and, you know, que sera, sera. And third would be the area where they felt like, I would just like to just kind of come out of my comfort zone. I really worked hard to preserve and to protect my health and my happiness. Now I just feel like I haven't really risked that much. And for you today, I have something for you, a shameless advertisement. We are going to Israel. Just thought I'd mention that. In October, put the dates down, October 23rd, back November 1st. More information on that, but you'll love it. Don't you worry about a thing. It's a great happening location. But when we take a look at doing life over again, as believers, I've never come across where a Christian says, well, I wish I never prayed as much as I prayed, or somehow I just wish I didn't love God as much. I wish I didn't serve people as much. There's just certain things that you just recognize that we would respond to the Lord in certain patterns. There's probably three ways with which people would respond to God, and you might want to just even jot them down. Everybody on earth has some response to God. When we talk, what would we say to a God that just kind of faithfully cares for us and watches over us? Some would just ignore him. They just live life as if God really doesn't exist. That's how some would live. Others would really come along and say, I abhor him. I don't like God. You could find those individuals when you kind of sit down with somebody and start bringing up the Lord or sharing him maybe with family gatherings. They just kind of like change the subject or just even leave the room. There could be others that say, I adore him. I don't abhor him. I adore him. I love the Lord. And those individuals where they just hear the name of Jesus spoken, their heart just melts. It's just something wonderful when you get around those kind of individuals like that. And some would just claim to say, man, I adore God, but yet they might live their life as if they ignore God. Doesn't really change anything of their life. So when we take a look at Psalm 100, as we read that, there's really five little verses, but there's four great responses that I believe are appropriate when people kind of get it. When God finally comes into focus in their life and say, man, Lord, you have really loved me consistently. You have completely provided for me so faithfully. And those four words, let me just kind of say them to you. Maybe want to rehearse them back to me. But the first word was worship, serve, love, and thank. Let's say that together. Worship, serve, love, thank. Let's try it again. Worship, serve, love, and thank. And these principles are here in Psalm 100. Let me read that. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have another, just follow along. Happy to have you with us. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. Let's take a look at the first one. Point number one, worship God joyfully. Can you see there in verse one, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. The end of verse two, come before his presence with singing. This basically, some translations might say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. But this is a psalm that was often used by the pilgrims coming into the temple. They're bringing in their sacrifice, their thank offerings. They would be saying this. They would be shouting before the Lord. They would be declaring how great he is. And to shout, there's 17 to 18 times in Scripture that literally the Word of God says to make a shout of noise of joy to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because it literally aims at this, that the king is in our presence and we are his subjects and victorious in him. That's literally the reference to that. Make a joyful shout to the Lord because he's in our presence and we are joyfully victorious because of him. It would be in any situation when there's a king or a monarch coming in. When the king came into our presence, people would shout victory, or they'd shout other things. You would hear just loud cries. How much more so with the Lord? That's the rendering of that. Have a happy situation within a place where we come into worship. So significant. I like it when we get a chance. You might have been around where there's times I'll be coming in even into the office to work. I'll be singing on my way in, oftentimes singing a song. I could be doing anything from singing in the spirit to even singing a secular song. It's just kind of fun to sing, don't you think? It's fun to sing. And the background music that's kind of in our head makes all the difference, isn't it? to just shout unto the Lord or to sing, to make a joyful song, it changes your heart and your attitude. Man, I was at a place where I worked and everybody seemed to be listening to a bad song. Just, man, what's wrong with you? It's kind of like they were just talking down. They had a song that maybe you might know. It's kind of like, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to, cry if I want to. You worked there too, didn't you? Can you imagine? It's like, come on, everybody. Let's come into the presence of the Lord. Now, here at Hope Chapel, it's a different story because we love it when you give us a call. We can hardly wait when we have visitors. We actually have to sign each other's names up to say who's going to handle the phone's call coming in. Isn't that great? I love that. So all of a sudden, the phone's ringing. Ring, 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 ring. Hug it. No, no, it's my turn. Ring, ring. No, my turn. And we pick it up. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello. Huh? Yes. It makes all the difference in the world. And a shout unto the Lord. We come into his presence with singing. Scripture makes reference to that. Here's some examples of how the Bible addresses that. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 21, you may want to write down, bring it into your life group, where it says where Balaam was asked by King Balak, get on up there and curse Israel. And man, the Spirit of God filled him up. And he said this, the Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. That area where you realize, man, we're coming into the presence of the Lord. Let's shout because we're victorious because of our King. That's really what this means. Shout unto the Lord, all you lands. Man. There's another reference, Joshua 6, verse 16. That's where that battle of Jericho. Remember where he says, all of a sudden, shout for the Lord has given you the city. There's something about lifting up loud noise when you're in the midst of God. It's appropriate. I like this one in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5, where it says when the ark was brought in, Israel was about ready to go into battle with the Philistines. And that scripture says when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp of Israel, shouts so loudly from Israel that the earth shook. It's an amazing thing. Can you imagine that people got so excited because the king is in our midst and we're going to be all right? Now, I won't wear you out on this, but Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, when Israel was saying, hey, come on back, let's rebuild the temple that was decimated, it says in verse 11 that all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord. So you can imagine, it's not just, hey, let's just kind of sing a little bit louder because we recognize we're coming into the presence of God. And it's appropriate to shout, he's here. Oh, he's here. Verse 1 again, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. When we recognize the importance of verse 2, come before his presence with singing. The element of singing, how important that is, because the Bible never tells us how we are to sing. It never says, well, now I want you to go about this song with a 4-4 beat or a 3-4 beat. Make sure you stay away from the 2-4 beat. No, just sing. Sing. God's in your midst. Sing. We're taking a look at ways to respond to the God who has been so faithful to us. Now, there are some rebuttals, and you say, hey, well, how come you're not singing today, dude? There are those excuses, and here's a couple of them. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I know it doesn't apply to any of us, but maybe somebody we might know down the way. One would be, I don't have a good voice. Have you ever heard that? No. But there are, though, and I like people that just don't have a good voice. Because I find that where they are and the group around them starts to sing louder to drown them out. Yes, it's great. If you feel you don't have a good voice, it's God who gave it to you. So you just sing loud and give it back to him. Hey, you gave this to me. This is for you. Let him have it. Another excuse, I don't feel like it. That's why I don't. Well, come on. There are a few things that we do that we don't feel like it, but it doesn't make it any less real. I'm sure there may have been a few days that you didn't feel like getting up out of bed to go to work, but you did it, did you? You did it, and it was important, and way to go. So it's important that we sing to the Lord. Another one is, I'm not that emotional type. I really just don't sing that way. Well, I get that. There are those that just aren't that emotional, but it's amazing when we're in the right environment how excited we get. Isn't that true? I've seen some of you. Your children make that soccer goal or coming down that track. You like go nuts. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that side of you before. That's amazing. So we can get emotional, but God's not too excited about secret admirers. How about that? Isn't that true? He does like us to say, Lord, I love you. I love you. So, and some people might complain when they get to heaven because, you know, the music's going to be loud there. Are you aware of that? I mean, really loud. It actually says in Revelations chapter 11 that, man, the noise is so loud that the doorposts are rocking. Can you imagine? I can hardly wait. We're going to get some new speakers in here. Can hardly wait. Somebody else might say, well, the lights are a little too bright. I just wish we kind of change it. But Revelation 21, 23, there is iridescent light that is in the New Jerusalem. And you know, it's Jesus, the Lamb. Isn't that cool? No sun there. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful display of light. And that sometimes things can get a little hazy there. You know, we always wanted to get that fog machine, get just that right little. But there is that Shekinah glory of the Lord that Isaiah 6, verse 4 talks about. Well, that's enough of that. How about number two? Let's take a look. Serve God gladly. Another response to the Lord who's so faithful to us. Look at verse 2 once again. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, it's wonderful when we get a chance. God wants more than fans, don't you know? He does want followers. It's one thing to say, man, I am the best worshiper. And I just do the best singing. But then when it comes to obedience, that's really important. So we should respond to God at some level of emotion, but those emotions should probably lead us to a motion, kind of like moving forward. So that old saying, it's not how high you jump when you praise God, it's like how straight you walk when your feet hit the ground. So spiritual maturity isn't measured by glorious singing as much as by glad serving. And we sure had a lot of it yesterday with nails in his hands and the many, many Thanksgiving baskets that were assembled yesterday. Way to go, everyone. Seriously. So serve God gladly is our second point. Sometimes we can moan about things. Isn't that true? Not saying that about you, but there can be those that just don't want to do things. We just have had enough of it, and we just kind of register our complaint. But it says, serve God with gladness. I know there are some examples in Scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, Luke 10, 38. Remember Martha? Remember when she was just having a great feast? Like probably many of you are going to have this Thursday. It's like, whoa, this is amazing, but nobody's helping you. And that gladness turns to scowl. Could happen. I don't know. It happened to Martha. Remember when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, man, you're worried and troubled about many things. Well, if you just get my sister Mary to help us, Jesus, I'd be really much happier. So we kind of do and moan things. We can always kind of complain about something. It's not too difficult. It really, I mean, because we're not in a perfect world. So it's not hard to find imperfections, things out of sorts. Matter of fact, it comes quite easy for people. I often find that that's the time you want to check and make sure that you have the right motive when things aren't right. In other words, why don't you apply the dog poo principle. Yes, yes. The dog poo principle. As opposed to the pig poo principle. Just say, what are we talking about here? Well, there was a time that I went to see my cousin Pat's pig farm in Indiana, and he had a lot of pigs. And you know what? That place was pretty stinky. Have you ever been? I mean, and stink sticks to you. Have you found that out? Like, what? That's why I don't go into that place. Man, come out of that bowling alley, come out of that bad cookery smelling like the backyard. Stink sticks. And so when we were there at that time, I had a little longer hair hanging out of my hat. It was time for dinner, came into the house, and I, man, somebody stinks in this place. So I decided I'm going to wash up, just get ready for dinner. Man, somebody still stinks in this place. Who is? And I didn't know it till later. But because I didn't wash my hair, stink was stuck on my hair. That's why everywhere I went, somebody just behind me smells. Who stinks? It's not me. I washed up. As opposed to the dog poo principle. Now, if you ever smell dog poo and everybody's piling into your cool car and you, what do you say? Hold it! What do you tell them? Check your shoes. Ah, not in my car. So true. That's the dog poop. Ainsley and I were at a Little League baseball game. You know, you're at the top of the bleachers. There's five rows up, and there's still everybody's like in your way. But we smelled dog dropping. And sure enough, so I'm checking my shoe. It wasn't me. But while we're enjoying the game, we recognize people who are walking past the bleachers. Then they pause, put their hand up on the chain link fence, and what? They're checking their shoe. See, because that's what we do. That's the dog poo principle. Something stinks and you're moaning about things. And like, somebody get their act together here. That's the pig poo principle. You'll never have a lot of friends hanging around you. You guys stink around here. Get your acts together. But the dog poo principle. If something's not right, maybe it's like, well, maybe it's me. Maybe I should check myself. And it's so much, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It's so helpful when we get a chance. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, in his day and age, all the clergy wore black. And he said, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. You know, it's pretty contagious when people are excited and joyful about serving one another and serving God. Sad, in order to really kind of come along, it really helps people. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, where the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. That term actually is a hilarious giver. That God comes along and he loves cheerful givers. A great advertisement. Now, when you get a chance to be with family or relatives this week, why don't you get on in there and say, let me help you. I yearn to help you. It's very contagious and quite attractive. Let's take a look at number three. How about love God intentionally? Verse three, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That word know, look at the very first word in verse 3, know, which means it's to perceive something with understanding. Scripture says you need to know that Christians are not to check their brains out, but God wants to reveal some things about himself to you, to us. It's important that we do that. That's why we're to love God, Scripture says in Mark 12, 30 and 31, with all our heart, mind, soul, strength. But to come along here, there are just certain things in this text that God wants you to know about him. And we can see so clearly, what does God want us to know? Well, look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. That would be number one, his lordship. Man, there is one God, and you're not it. And there's one way to that one God, and that's Jesus. So we really need him. We really need him. So when it comes along and we recognize, I love the little 8-year-old prayer, cute little prayer. It really went something like this when I heard it. It's like, dear God, take care of the mommies. take care of the daddies, take care of the brothers and the sisters, and please, dear God, take care of yourself, because if something happens to you, we're sunk. That's so profound, isn't it? Man, we need him. We need him in our lives, and that's the beauty of just saying, Lord, you are Lord of all. Second thing we see in the scripture is his craftsmanship. In verse 3, for it is he who has made us. So it's important, and just to recognize that you're a special creation by the Lord. You are not a human accident. You're a divine incident. God purposed you to an existence, or else he wouldn't have made you. You are his craftsmanship. That's important for us. And then the third is his ownership. Can you see that? Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So if you're here today and kind of checking out things to see where God might land in your life or whether you're even going to be interested in him, it's important for us to just realize we were created by him, so he owns us. And if you've given your life to him, then you could actually say, man, he actually redeemed me. Because Revelation comes along in chapter 5, verse 9, where it's talking about, man, all the people in heaven who has redeemed us with his blood from every tribe, tongue, nation. Wow. So are you either owned by God, by his creation, or by redemption? It's a beautiful thing. When we see here, in point number 4, we thank God consistently. Let's look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Somebody might say, well, hey, Dad, why are we here at church? That's a good question. Why are we here at church? We could literally say from Psalm 100, we could say, well, we're here because we're here to give joyful worship. We're here to serve God and serve his people. We're here to engage our minds and learn more about God. And naturally, we're here to thank God consistently. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says it's the will of God, which says, now in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's important for us. When we take a look at this, we come to that. It's important, for there's three reasons to thank God. It's listed right here. Verse 5 says it. The Lord is good. What a great way to thank God consistently. Now, you may not have had a good week this week, but listen, God's still good. God's still good. And it would be good for us to say, Lord, I just want to thank you. How important is it to just hang around good people, because you know good's going to come out of it? Another one is he's merciful. Verse 5, his mercy is everlasting. Wow, it never ends. It'll be there for you tomorrow. And I've banked on his mercy a lot. The times that I've come short, the occasions which I feel I have failed him or failed others, God's mercy is everlasting. You can always guarantee it'll be there for you tomorrow. His mercies are new, what? Every morning. And then the other, checking it out, he is honest. It literally says his truth endures to all generation. God is honest. I love Hebrews. It says God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. We come to this point, his truth endures to all generation. It just doesn't change. He's always can be relied upon. So it can be more fun to complain and maybe even more enjoyable to whine a little bit. But what a great occasion. How kind the Lord has been to us, hasn't he? His love is consistent. His supply for our needs, he's always so faithful. In the American history, the worst generation that Americans ever experienced was the founding of this country. Our pilgrims fathers came. And they said the statistic was this: they were digging 7 times more graves than they were building homes. Because people were losing their life by reason of deprivation and the conditions. And it finally came to them one season when the harsh winters concluded. It said, we need to have a day where we give God thanks. We made it. Those of us that still remain, we're here. Let's thank God. Our first president of the United States, George Washington, made a decree, put it into action, and said that we will have a day once a year called Thanksgiving. Put it to a vote, 100%. Congress approval. I think it's the first time, don't you? It's an amazing thing to thank the Lord. If you had to live your life over again, what would you do differently? What would you say in essence to what God has done? Lord, thank you. You really have, when it came right down to that, you've been faithful to supply my needs. And Lord, I heard about your love, but now I see your supply of my needs and family have been really because you love us so consistently. What can I give in return? Lord, here's all of me. Here's all of me. That's the title of the message. What do you give a God who has and owns everything? Well, he wants nothing less than just you. I want to invite you as we close our Bibles. We're going to have our worship team lead us in a worship song. And I'm so glad that you're here. May this song help direct and inspire your thoughts and gratitude toward the Lord. Would you go ahead and close your Bibles? I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet at this time.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Some people, but I want to take the privilege right now, just if you would invite the time to have an occasion with God and close your eyes with me. If there's that occasion where you're now recognizing your response to the Lord can certainly improve, and may the Lord lead you in that area. And I want to invite you to just pray just a simple prayer right after me. It's that declaration saying, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. I desire to give more of me to you. I've held some areas and things from you. Today's the day I give you all of me. This prayer goes like this, and just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I recognize today the importance that you play in our society and now in my life. And I ask you, dear Lord, forgive me of my ignorance and my rebellion. And I invite you, dear Lord, to be more of my life. Come inside, be my Savior, and be my Lord. I surrender my life to you, to use me however you would want me to be used. I give you my life, and I trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.